It is a big universe. When we stare up into the night sky, we can't see all that's out there. Some kids dream of going to outer space, traveling through the stars to unknown galaxies.
Some of those dreamers become researchers who explore space through technology while grounded here on Earth. But the show's Annika Klein tells us the story of a Mars researcher in Tempe who was able to visit the planet in an unexpected way.
You can refer to Tanya Harrison as Dr. Harrison, but there's another title she likes too.
I am what I like to call a professional Martian.
She's a geologist who explores Mars through the eyes of NASA's Opportunity rover, which recently celebrated its 5,000th Martian day out there on the planet's dusty surface. Tanya is also the director of research for the New Space Initiative at ASU.
I get to spend a lot of my time looking at images from Mars, which I think is really exciting, especially if you're doing something with the rovers, where you might be one of the first people in history to ever see that piece of Mars from the rover.
Space, a final frontier.
I'd always been interested in space. I grew up watching a lot of Star Trek with my parents.
You boldly go where no man has gone before.
But in 1997, when the Mars Pathfinder mission landed, NASA released a little animation of photos of the Sojourner rover driving off the lander onto the surface of Mars.
We're coming up on this edition of World News, Making Contact. Just minutes from now, the Mars Pathfinder will attempt to land on the red planet.
And I remember seeing that and thinking, we're driving a robot on another planet tens of millions of miles away. And my brain just couldn't comprehend how awesome that was. And so that kind of shifted my focus from just kind of general space to I really want to work on Mars.
So she did. Okay, not literally, but as close as you can get right now. Every image she sees from the rover unravels another little mystery about the red planet. Then, last year, her mom made a discovery.
So my mother is really into genealogy, and she told me at one point recently that she had come across my great-great-uncle, whose name is Ira Sweet Bunker, and she found out from his obituary, of all things, that he had written a story called A Thousand Years Hence, or Startling Events in the Year 3000.
Subtitle: A Trip to Mars, Incidents by the Way. Turns out, an interest in Mars runs in the family. But this story was published in 1903 and had since been lost. It didn't seem to be anywhere online except for references to it.
I turned to Twitter and just happened to mention I thought this was a cool discovery that someone in my family had written a story about Mars, and 100 years later, I was working on the Mars rovers.
The Twitterverse delivered. And Tanya found out that her great-great-uncle's story had been under her nose this whole time in ASU's microfilm collection.
A librarian at the ASU libraries went, pulled it out of the microfilm, digitized it for me, and sent it to me without me even asking for them to do that. And so it just showed up in my email one day, which was pretty cool.
That's when Tanya saw Mars through the mind's eye of Ira Sweet Bunker. There were no audiobooks back then, so we had someone do a reading of the story.
You may think the date a strange one, yet it is only one year in the center of two eternities, the past and future.
And there's a lot of things in there that are pretty forward-thinking, shall we say.
Thousands of men and women of all ages were sailing through the air.
Some would rise. Everyone wears anti-gravity jackets in the year 3000. And at one point, the president of the United States shoots a black bear with a sort of laser gun, like some futuristic Teddy Roosevelt.
A blue spark was emitted from the instrument.
And then they eventually get to Mars, and he ends up meeting the Martians, and they live in this utopian society where everyone is happy and everyone is equal.
He slowly drew near the most beautiful landscape I ever beheld, covered with large evergreen trees, which were intertwined with vines supporting fragrant...
Ira had no idea what the real Mars looks like, but to be fair, no one did.
You know, this is what we thought about Mars looking at it through a telescope. You can see dark areas and light areas. And for a while, some people thought the dark areas were maybe vegetation and the lighter areas were the deserts. And so this was sort of a common theme in a lot of the stories of the time. There are no evergreen trees on Mars. There's no beautiful society there full of gorgeous Martian women, which he also talks a little bit about in the story.
Would Ira be disappointed? Maybe. But Tanya would also want him to know that the real Mars isn't some boring rock.
There's landslides going on. We've seen avalanches. It has weather. The pieces of the puzzle are still coming in. We don't have the complete picture yet. And so I want to be around long enough to figure out what that picture is.
In the meantime, she's honoring her great-great-uncle by sending him up to Mars, or at least his name. Certain craters on the planet are named after science fiction authors who wrote about Mars. And Tanya applied for one of those to be named the Ira Sweetbunker Crater. Maybe someday, in the year 3000, someone who always dreamed of going to space will stand at the edge of that crater on the surface of Mars. We still have 982 years to find out. For the show, I'm Anika Klein.